I want you to take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest evangelists that we know, save the Lord Himself. 14 books of the New Testament, if you include the book of Hebrews. Of course, that is debated by the scholars. But he penned at least 13, probably 14 books of the New Testament. In the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 13 through 28, we read of his missionary journeys as he spread the gospel throughout the Gentile world. And we read about how churches were planted all over the world at that time by the work of Paul and the rest of the apostles. And so this man had much to do in spreading the cause of Christ in the first century. He also had quite a bit to do before he started doing that, in trying to destroy him when he was Saul of Tarsus and thought that he was doing the will of God. But in the life of Paul had struggles. He had earthly things that he had to contend with as he did God's work. And sometimes these struggles in his mind hindered him from doing the things that God called upon him to do. One of these things he mentions in particular in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we want to talk about the thorn that will not go away. I want you to look in verses 7 through 10. We're going to read that. That will be our text for our study today. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll begin reading in verse number 7. It says, "At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, and he said to me that it might be depart from me. He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And so, in this context, the Apostle Paul is beseeching the Lord that this thorn in the flesh, this thorn that he believed was a messenger of Satan, that buffeted him daily, that this thorn would be taken away. Now, there has been great speculation as to what was the thorn. What was this thorn that was buffeting Paul's body? Well, Doddridge, who is a Greek scholar, said it was a paralytic disorder, and he understood that by the other writings of Paul. The Latin fathers believed that it was an unruly desire that he had, something that he was constantly tempted with, and that was the thorn. Jerome, who wrote the Latin Vulgate, he believed it was nothing more than a headache, a constant headache, we might say a migraine. And Tertullian, who was also a Greek writer, an early church writer, said that it was an earache. But we don't know. We don't know. But look at the life of Paul. Could we surmise by what he just told us what that thorn might be? Could it be persecution? Do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Do you remember him listing the things that he was subject to for his faith in Christ? He talks about being a night and a day in the deep. He talked about being in perils of brethren and robbers. He talked about being hungry and naked. He talked about being stoned. He talked about being beaten 3 times, saved with 40 stripes, saved 1. And he talked about all these things that he suffered because of his faith and his commitment to Christ. Well, we don't know if that was it, but we know those things plagued Paul throughout his life. Was it a physical infirmity? In Galatians chapter 4, some have turned to this passage as a reference point that maybe this was a physical infirmity that he had. He says, for you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you first. And so this would lead us to believe in this account that he went to Galatians first because of some physical ailment that he was having. But was that a constant ailment? We don't know. And then one of the most wide believed things by most of the scholars is that it was his vision. In verse number 15 of that text, Galatians 4 and verse 15, says, what then was blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given to me. Now putting verse 14 and 15 together, many have concluded that the thorn that was continually a thorn in his flesh was his eyesight that prevented him from reading as much as he wanted and preventing him from writing as much as he wanted. And that's why on many occasions he had transcribers, people like Luke, people like Timothy, that he could transcribe. And then in one of the letters that he wrote, he said, I have signed it in large letters. Now all those things put together have meant people to surmise that his constant thorn in the flesh was an eyesight problem. Well, I told you all of that to say this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes in Bible studies, I'm amazed at how much time we spend on something to try to find out something that we couldn't know even if we wanted to know it. And I've been in Bible classes that spent the whole time talking about what that thorn was. It doesn't matter what the thorn was. Just know that he had it. It was a discomfort. It was something that troubled him. And it was something that he felt was a hindrance into what he could do for Christ. And he beseeched the Lord that he would remove it in order that Paul might be relieved of this remedy. But God saw fit to leave it with him. And he told him in our context that my grace is sufficient. And so whatever it was, God would give Paul the ability to be able to deal with it, to be able to live with it, and to be able to still be effective in the kingdom. And so he was to trust God. And so if we remember in our reading, he boasted his infirmities. He accepted God's answer. He didn't plead, try to get him to change. He accepted that that was the way it was. He would do the best that he could. And so, we need to understand, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, that kind of goes along with Jesus' teaching on persistent prayer. Remember when he tells us to be persistent in the things that we need? I'd say that was persistence. But after three times, the Lord said, no, Paul, you're going to have. Whatever it was, Paul wanted relief. But God saw that it was better that he had it. Now, all this comes down to is trusting God, is depending upon God to understand that he knows what is best. Now, I'm going to suggest to you this morning that we don't always understand God's point of view. We don't always understand God's great plan for us as an individual. And we sometimes don't understand the ways of God. I want to tell you that from a biblical point, but I want to tell you that from a personal observation in my own life. There are things that I've had to deal with that I would have rather tried to get around. There are things that I would have rather, if I had any input, if I had any say, this little test, I don't really need it. I don't want it. And so I'll be better if I could just escape it. But it comes down to a matter of trust. Now, let me ask you another question. Who is free from thorns? Who among us is free from having thorns in the flesh? Things that we must deal with on a daily basis. Now, age will cause you to begin to deal with illness. You will have times when your body will not be able to do what it once did. And many of us that are growing older, we understand that age will bring on its own problems. And as much as we would like to get around that, as much as we'd like to have that be something we wouldn't have to deal with, now I'll be real honest with you, I've got many of my family who deal with arthritis. Now, if there's any way that I can deal without ever having to deal with that, I'd be very happy. But maybe that won't be my lot. Maybe I'll have to deal with it. Some of you deal with it. And so that is a constant thorn, and it's a hindrance. Or, I want to say it can be. And that's what I want to say, it can be. It can be a constant irritation that can hinder you from doing what you can do. You can have injury. Something could happen to you. You could be in an accident of no fault of your own. You could be disabled. Would your faith change if you were disabled tomorrow? If you were in a terrible automobile accident and you would never be able to walk again? That'd be a difficult thing, wouldn't it? No, my uncle, who just recently had a car crash, I talk to him every week, and he's in a back brace. He's in a lot of pain. And if you would ask him, do you really want to go through this? He would tell you no. But you know what he tries to do? He tries to remember what could have been. If could have been, I wouldn't be talking to him. I'd have been talking at his funeral. You see, you can always look on another side. You see, that might happen. We don't have any control of that, do we? If I become disabled, there's not really a whole lot I can do about that, is there? But I can do what it will do to me. I can affect on how I'll react to that problem. Illicit desire. Illicit desire. The chemical addictions, immoral thoughts, suffering, it's greed. It's something that is all around us in the world and society that we live in. They can't sell anything without sex. Not anything. From toothpaste to mouthwash. It doesn't matter what it is, and everything in between has some sexual window to labeled to it in commercials, in televisions, on billboards. It's all around us, and we've got to fight it constantly. Well, wouldn't we rather we have to deal with it? Wouldn't we rather that we would not have to deal with illicit sauce? What about the way people dress? What about how people dress indecently and immodestly? Wouldn't it be better if we wouldn't have to be subjected to that? Wouldn't it be better if everybody dressed modestly? Sure it would. What about selfishness and greed and covetousness that can happen when we get too much of this world's goods, when we get too well in our field, and when we began to prosper, and we began to think that we've done all this ourselves? You know, it can become a thorn in your flesh, and it can steal your Christianity. What about relationships in distress? Job conditions, spouses, parents, children, brethren. We deal with it all, don't we? Have you ever been in a job that you'd rather that you have someone else if you're your boss? Have you ever been in a job where your boss was just a constant thorn? Doesn't that affect your attitude? Doesn't that affect how you look at things? What about your marriage? There's times in our marriage we have rough spots, things we have to work out, things we have to get through. And then there's children and various things that can happen with our children that can bring us stress and can bring us problems. And then lo and behold, we can even have problems with our brethren that can cause us great mental stress. But you know what? You can allow any of these things to destroy your life, to destroy your effectiveness, to destroy the good that you have in your life. You can allow these other things to overshadow the good, and you can have a miserable life. But I want you to know something this morning. It's a choice. This is only a thorn if you let it be. This is only a thorn if you don't look past it. If you don't learn how to be content in where you're at. I was told years ago by a real good friend, an old gospel preacher. He told me, he said, Keith, when you think things are bad, and when you think that things could be going a lot better, and you kind of begin to let pity slip in. He says, if you'll just be patient, God will introduce you to a person that has it much worse than you do. And you know what? His advice was well taken because I've seen that happen. And so since we have thorns, what must we do? Since we have thorns, We have to learn how to deal with them, live with them, and overcome them. And so that's what I want to talk for a few moments about. How do we deal with the thorns? How can we make them work for us and not against us? Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, the thorn is not the issue. The issue is my response to the thorn. The thorn is not the issue. We're all going to have our thorns. You're not going to be able to escape it. You're going to have them. That's not the issue. The issue is, what do I do when I'm beset by the thorn? How do I react? What do I do in relationship to that thorn? Well, I can think, why me? Why did this happen to Mike? He can handle it better than me. Let it happen to him. You know, why me? Why does it have to be me? Let it be someone else. That's called self-pity. That's called being sorry because I have to go through it. Or we could say, where's God? Here, I'm trying to be faithful. Here I am, a gospel preacher, spending my life trying to save the lost, edify my brethren, try to do everything I can for His work, and I've got these problems. Why? Where's God? You know what that is? That's the devil in your ear. That's the devil trying to get you to believe that God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. He's not concerned about you. How can this be? Why? How can this happen? You know, I've met people that have taken great care of their bodies. And all of a sudden they get sick. And they don't understand why. I take vitamins, I watch what I eat, I exercise, and now I got this disease. What happened? How can this be? You know what it's called? It's called life. It rains on the just, rains on the unjust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Does God really care? You see, I can react to my thorn in that, well, maybe God really doesn't care about me. Maybe He's really not concerned about me. Maybe He doesn't love me as much as I thought He did. When you begin thinking like that, your thorn is working against you. Your thorn is working against you because you're allowing it to. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that these thorns are uncomfortable, unpleasant, and at many times very difficult to deal with. I know from personal experience they are. But what's the alternative? If I mope and wallow in self-pity, is that going to remove the thorn? Is that going to help me do better? Is that going to help me deal with it? And by the way, what's that going to do with my relationships? What's that going to do with my relationship with God? What's that going to do with my relationship with my brethren who are not having to suffer this thing like I've got to suffer? What about my marriage? What about my spouse? What about the relationship with my children? Am I just going to throw it all in because I got this little thorn? You see, you got to look at the bigger picture. When I was in the military, they tried to drill that into my head from day one. When you're out there walking around a B-52 and it's 40 below zero, and there's nobody in their right mind that's going to steal that plane in when it's 40 below zero. And even if they did, they'd never be able to start it. Remember the big picture, Keith. I never did see that big picture. But you know what? I didn't quit. You see, how we react, what we do, the thorn is not the issue. The thorn is how do we react. From Paul's perspective, number one, the battle is internal, not external. Let me say that again. The battle is internal, not external. Whatever the temporary discomfort that you have, whatever it might be, sickness, illness, disability, stress, whatever it is, it's temporary. It's not going to last. It has a beginning, it has an ending. And the battle that you will have is not from the external so much, is going to be the internal, and what you do internally is going to affect what happens to you externally. Now turn to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in our text, a little bit before our text, beginning in verse number 24. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, save minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils often, in perils of robbers, in perils of our own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, and in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Besides these other things, what came upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. You see, the battle was internally. It was the effect that all these things together was having on Paul's mind. And you know what? That's a real battle. That is a real struggle. Because when you are hurting outside, there is a battle going on inside. And something is trying to gain supremacy. How does one retain his faith? When I'm struggling, when I'm dealing with all these issues, and externally all these things are going on, how can I still have peace? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Never I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can deal with the thorn. I can deal with the discomfort. I can deal with the disability. I can deal with the stress. I can deal with the problem. If I remember where my strength lies, it is not with me. It is with my Lord. Remember what Paul told, the Lord told Paul, my grace is sufficient. How could a man sit in a cell, looking down a hall, and seeing that his life was just about over, knowing he was going to die for his faith, knowing that all of his journey was coming to an end, and his life was about to be taken, what did he say? Was he in pity? Was he bemoaning it? No. You read 2 Timothy chapter 4. You listen to the words of a dying man as he pins his last letter, and as he fights his last battle. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Is he worried? No, he's not worried. Why? For henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. You see, he looked beyond his temporary problem. It was real. He was going to die. His life was going to end. That was a real problem. But he looked beyond what it would mean. Can we learn to do that? Can we learn that the battle is not simply what's going on outside, but it's what's going on in here? You know what I'm told by doctors? I'm told that attitude means a lot in anything that you deal with. And do you ever wonder why certain people handle dread disease better than other people? I've watched people die. I've watched people's body wreck with pain. I've watched them die slowly. I've watched the cancer eat their body. And they worry more about me than they do about themselves. How do they do that? You know how they do that? They depend upon the Lord more than they depend upon themselves. We can learn to do that. We can learn that to fight the battle and win it internally. And the external will take care of itself. It will run its course. It will go wherever it's supposed to go. The worst it can do is kill me. But that won't be unpleasant if I die in the Lord. That won't be a loss. That'll be a victory. From Paul's perspective, we can't blame God. He said his thorn wasn't from God. It was a messenger of Satan. He didn't blame God. He knew he had it, but it wasn't God's fault. You see, you can't blame God. Don't let that happen. Do we understand? Did Job understand? Look at what happened to Job. You think he understood? Read the book of Job. And then those three friends, they were great help, weren't they? Oh, we know why you're suffering. You're suffering because you're a sinner. You're unwilling to repent. If you'd repent, you'd get out of this mess. They didn't know any better than Job. And you want to know something, ladies and gentlemen? When you go through it, you won't understand it. Oh, I remember. Let me tell you, Keith remembers. Oh, I know what I do. Oh, if I face this situation and I was faced with this and I had to deal with this, this is what I do. But then Keith was faced with that situation. And he had to deal with that. You know what I always found it difficult in my own life? You're talking with other people and helping them deal with their problems. And then when that problem came to my door, trying to follow the advice that I gave them, I found it very difficult. You know why? It was because of me. It was because of me. God's advice works. But it doesn't work if you don't put it to work. It can't help you. You know, you've got the greatest help you can have. Who is greater than God? Who is stronger than God? Who has more power than God? Who can help you more than God? And sometimes He's the last one we even think about. How can that be? You see, we can't blame God. It's when you need God. He said, put on the whole armor. But if you don't put on the armor, then you're going to be a target. If you don't put on the armor, then you're not invincible. And let me tell you something, you're not invincible even when you have the armor on, because you've got to be using it the right way. But if you leave the armor off, then you leave yourself vulnerable for the enemy. Whatever happens, it's not God's fault. Whatever we struggle with, whatever we deal with, it's not God's fault. And if we fall on our face and we fail the test, it's not God's fault. It's my lack of faith. It's my lack of courage. It's my lack of discipline. It's not God's fault. And that's what I've got to remember. He's who I need. He's who will help me. God's purpose. God's care. God's love. Don't forget about it. There's a purpose in what I deal with. God has a purpose. Maybe I don't understand what it is. But I know His ultimate purpose. What's His ultimate purpose? To save my soul. My Lord wants me to be in heaven with Him someday. He's going to do everything in His power to help me get there. Don't ever forget that. And don't forget that He cares about you. Cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's not just a passage in the Scripture. That is a promise from God. That is a guarantee from God. And does God love you? He sent His Son to die for you. His Son suffered on the cross horribly. Because He loved us. He had no other motivation to do it. We didn't do anything that we deserved it. We didn't do anything that we obligated Him to do it. He did it simply and solely out of love. And if He was willing to give you Son, do you think He's going to give up on you when something bad happens in your life and you're not dealing with it the way you should? You think God's going to turn His back on you? No, He's not going to turn your back on you. No, I've told you before, the question is not, never, where is God when I suffer? That's not the question. I know where God's at. I know where the Son's at. The question is, where am I at? Don't blame God. Number three, He gladly accepted the thorn. Now this takes faith. He gladly accepted. I will rather most gladly therefore boast in my infirmities. I take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. Why? How can you do that? How can you like it? I don't think He means that you like it. What He means is that you accept it. You can't get around it. If I get sick, I can't get around it. If I get cancer, I can't get around it. I'm going to have to deal with it. If I have illness, if I have family things I have to deal with, no, I'd rather not deal with them. But if they're put in my lap, then I'm going to have to deal with them. You see, I'm going to accept the thorn. Accept the thorn. Why should I accept it? Because it can work good for you. He gladly accepted because it can look good for you. Look at James 1 and verse 2. Look at the words of James. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. What? Is that a misprint? Joy? How in the world would you do that? How would I count it a joy that I got to go through trial? Well, let's see what Peter says. Look at 1 Peter 1. Maybe Peter will help us understand. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needs be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found through praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ. You know what your test is? It's strengthening your faith. It's making your faith real. It's making it genuine. It's not making it lip service. It's not something you're going through the motion. It is something that you're doing. It's something you're working with. It is something that is being strengthened for the next mountain that you'll have to climb over. In chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of the partakers of the Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. What's His point? Yes, I'll suffer, but I'll benefit later. Do you believe that? You know what is the most comforting passage? Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Would it be to God that we could remember the words of these two verses? 2 Corinthians 4, the last two verses, 16 and 17. 16 through 18, listen to the words of Paul. Therefore is a conclusion. And the conclusion, he has talked about suffering and difficulty. Listen to what he says. We do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being removed and renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, in which we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that we see are temporary, but the things that we do not see, they are eternal. Understand, there is more at stake than my personal discomfort. Understand, there is something more at stake than me happening to deal with this thorn. There is something larger at stake. Let me put it in words that you'll understand. How we handle the thorns will depend on whether we'll get to heaven or not. It's easy to handle the good times, folks. It's not so easy to handle the tough times. But how you deal with those thorns are going to have a great deal to say on whether or not we gain the portals of glory someday. You see what he says? You focus on the things that you don't see. Don't allow your focus to be totally on the things that you're dealing with here. You've got to look beyond through the eye of faith to know that there are bigger and more important matters of your concern. Now, you know what? That takes focus. That takes faith. That takes trust. It's something you can't see. It's someone you can't personally talk to except through prayer. But somebody you know that is there and cares. You have to look beyond the moment. Gladly accept the thorn. It can work for you a farther and greater exceeding weight of glory. The value of the thorn. How can a thorn be valuable? Because it builds my faith. It builds my strength. It builds my endurance. But you know what else it does? It builds my dependence upon God and not on myself. It makes me look to someone else for help. Look to someone else for strength. Look to someone else for answers. And I'm not trying to do it all by myself. And you know what? You will not understand what I just said until it happens to you. I remember in my own life, in 1982, I went through a trial that was the most horrible thing I ever dealt with in my life. And I can tell you the whole time I was going through it, I wasn't worried about eternal things. I wasn't focused on spiritual things. And I wasn't concerned about God then. All I was concerned about is making it, getting through it. But you know what? When I reevaluated my position and I started to focus on God and less upon me, you know, a strange thing happened. I began to get better. I began to come out of the fog. I began to look at things in a very different light, and things began to take a different turn in my life. And in helping me learn that lesson the hard way, about 10 years later, I went through another trying time. But you know what? I wasn't in the fog then. I didn't handle it like I did 10 years earlier. I handled it much different and much better because I learned to depend upon God instead of myself. And that's the value of the thorn. It can work for you later. You won't understand it while you're going through it. But if you'll trust God, if you'll pray, and if you'll work, you'll be the better for it when it's done. I've seen it too many times in my life. I've seen it in too many lives of other people that's had an influence on my life to know that this works. There's a reason that you have the thorn. Make it work for you instead of working against you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. You see, the devil thought he beat him. He got him nailed to a cross. He's dead. He's out of the way. He wins. He loses. Nailing him to the cross wasn't victory. It was his defeat. And you know what? You can do that in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can take something in your life that works that looks like it's defeat, and you can make it come out for victory. How do you do that? You trust God. You let God have his way with you. And you will turn defeat into victory. Jesus showed us the way. In all these verses, it tells us the way, the things that can do for us, the true strength that comes by facing resistance. There is strength. There is real powerful strength that can help you when you resist the temptation of blaming God, of wallowing in the misery, and wallowing in the problem. If you'll rise above it, you'll be better for it. And you know what else? You'll be better equipped to help other people when they come to their thorn. You can help other people because they will need it. They will need the help, and you can help show them that it's possible that God's way is better and that God's way does work. We need the strength to face the resistance. The battle can be won. The thorns don't have to defeat you. They don't have to override your faith. They don't have to destroy you. They don't have to take away your joy. They don't have to take away your life. They can't. You only give them the power to do that. They cannot do it on their own. You have to help them along. All of us have had situations in our families that have brought us to our knees. What we would do to be able to not have to deal with them. But you know what? When we learn to deal with them, when we accept them, and when we fight through them, it prepares us for whatever battle next that Satan has to try to steal our crown and destroy our faith. And believe me, he's going to try. He does not tire of trying to destroy our hope. And so in conclusion this morning, the thorn will not go away. You can't escape them. You're going to have to deal with them. What is your thorn? I do not know. But it matters not what it is. It matters what you do about it. First of all, do not judge God. Do not start questioning God. That's a conversation you don't want to get into. Remember, Job got into that conversation. He says, Job, stand up like a man. Let me ask you some questions. You know, whenever I read that account of Job, you know what I can see about Job? He's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And you know what he finally says? I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth and I'm not going to say anything else. Don't question God. That's not the problem. God's the solution. He's not the problem. Number two, look to the cross. Remember what Jesus did. You have value. Jesus died for you. You mean something to him. He did not die because He wanted you lost. He died because He wants you saved. Don't forget about the cross. Keep your perspective. It's temporary. It's not going to last. It may kill you, but that's all it can do. It can't steal your crown. It can't steal your home in heaven. It can't destroy your life unless you let it. You know, one of the strongest lessons I've learned in life is watching people die with dignity. You know what I tell myself as I'm watching them, praying with their family, watching it before my eyes, I'm saying, Lord, let me go out like this. Let me have this kind of faith. Let me look beyond the moment and the tragedy, and let me see something better to leave for my family, for my children, for my spouse, that everything's okay. Be a help to others. You know how you can deal with your problems? Get involved with other people. Your problems won't seem so bad. Sometimes in my life, people come and talk to me. I feel maybe we need to change places. Let you stay here and me come and talk to you. But you know what? I don't do that. Because I know that they need that. And you know what? In all honesty, I do too. Because it helps me keep things in perspective in my life. We don't live on an island. We're to be helpful to each other. Ask God for help. Life's tough. There's things that life will bend you to your knees. You're going to deal with things that you never thought you'd have to deal with. You're going to come up on things that you don't know what the answer is. God knows that. Go to God. Don't be ashamed. That's why He's there. Pray for deliverance from temptation. Don't give in. Fight. Put up a fight. Don't give in. Put up a struggle. Just don't lay down and die. God will deliver you if you'll trust Him, if you'll pray to Him, and but most of all, if you'll take His advice. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're not going to escape the thorn. Paul had to deal with his. I'm going to have to deal with mine. You're going to have to deal with yours. Now, I know what you're going to ask me. I know somebody's going to ask me this. Why do some people have more thorns than others? I don't know the answer to that. But if you want some of mine, I'll be glad to give them to you. But you know what? Whatever thorn I've got, God has a purpose in me dealing with it. I may not understand, and many times I don't. But I know this, that if I learn to depend on it, to go through it with God, I'll get through it. Accept the challenge, because that's what it is. It's a challenge. You're going through a test. And there's only two outcomes of this test. You pass or you fail. And you know what's kind of odd about this point? You don't got any choice but to accept it. Because you're going to have to deal with it anyway. But I leave you with this thought. Our Lord accepted the thorn. He went to the cross. And that wasn't a very pleasant thing. Do you remember Him praying in the garden? Do you remember what He prayed 3 times? Much like Paul. Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but Thy will be done. Now you know what? He endured the cross. He's not asking us to endure the cross. He's asking us to endure our thorn. What will you do with your thorn? You know what we can do? We can make the thorns hinder us. Prevent us from 2 things. Number 1, from enjoying this life. Number 2, from being effective in the kingdom of God and helping other people help get through their thorns. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, God's love for you has not changed in any direction. He loved you enough that He was willing to die. He loved you enough that He was letting His Son die that horrible death upon the cross. And He did that because He loved you. And even when you stay away, it doesn't diminish the love that God has for you. All He's asked you is in the goodness of your heart to repent of your sin, to believe and trust Him, to confess your faith in Christ, to accept Him as your Lord and to follow Him and to submit to baptism, to contact the blood of Christ, that you might arise to walk in newness of life. And then you will have real help when you have the thorns come in your life, and they will. But the greatest thorn that you have in your life right now is sin, and you have no relief without Christ. But many of you in this audience are Christians. And some of you are dealing with some of these thorns. You have them in your life. Are you allowing them to overshadow the hope and the promises and the happiness that you can have in life because you are trying to have these thorns alone and you're not trusting and depending upon God? Take a different flack. Take a different course. Try another way. There's a better way. Let God help you contend with that thorn. And you will be the better, and we will be the recipients of that. We can help you in any way this morning to make your life right with God. We bid you to come forward as together we stand as we sing.